We have someone with a hand up, area code 610. Is this Tim Bingham?
It is. Hello, Tim.
Welcome. How can we support you today, sir?
Well, the prior work that you did with me about going to the treadmill seems to have worked well. And so I have another issue I would like your help on doing a worksheet on, which has come up, which is going to a house for a party and having to use a GPS to drive me there. And I feel anxious about using the GPS, and I have alternating feelings of anxiety and panic about using the GPS to get there and using the GPS to get home. So I was hoping you could lead me through a worksheet on that. I don't know if there's enough time left to do a worksheet, but maybe help me get started on one. I've worked with Sue on a worksheet, but I still feel anxiety at a level about 7 about use of the GPS. So that's what I'm calling about.
Okay, so can you give me a little history? Do you have a history of being stranded someplace or driving to a place that's not safe because of a faulty GPS, or what's the thought pattern or the history with this issue that you can fill in some blanks for me? What is the thought you're using to create panic or anxiety around using a GPS?
Well, I've felt anxiety before about using a GPS, and I've forced myself to use it and have gotten to places okay on it. When I first started using it, I got completely confused by what streets it was telling me to turn on, and I felt lost. And then one time it told me to turn right, and I turned right into a driveway instead of a road. So I've had a couple of bad experiences with the GPS, but I've also had a lot of good experiences with it, although I was anxious.
So what's the thought process you're using to generate so much of this negative emotion around the GPS?
The thought is that the GPS may not enable me to get to where I want to get.
And then what? What's the horrible thing that's going to happen if you don't get there right away?
Then I'll be stuck somewhere and needing to use the GPS to get out of where I am and being unable to use it properly.
So the bottom line, the end result is going to be what? If you're stuck someplace and you can't get out, then what? What's the ultimate tragedy that you're projecting?
I'd have to call Sue to come and get me.
Okay, and is that an embarrassment? Is that a shame?
It's a shame and embarrassment.
Because what are you making that mean about yourself if you get lost and can't use the GPS to find your way? What would you be making it mean about you?
That I'm a bumbler.
Okay. There you go.
Inept bumbler.
Okay. So the real, the real worksheet is about your fear of being seen as or viewing yourself as an inept bumbler.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. And
so you might do the worksheet on the GPS, but you might get more work, more benefit if you go right to the idea that you hold a set of thoughts or beliefs that no matter how hard you work to hide it, you're really at your core an inept bumbler.
Right. And as a kid, my father saw me as a bumbler, and I wasn't good at a lot of things like baseball, and I can remember my father looking at me with scorn over being a bumbler and being ashamed of it. I wasn't good with mechanical things and gadgets and felt inept quite a lot of the time.
Okay, so you could frame out a worksheet where the thought is, I'm an inept bumbler. That's 1D.
Yeah, right.
And the trigger is that I have to go someplace and use GPS to get there.
Right.
And the emotion is the fear or terror that it's going to be revealed that I'm an inept bumbler.
Right.
So when the thought is, you know, I'm afraid of being revealed that I'm an inept bumbler, and there is this terror about that, what would your goal be?
My goal would be to get to where I want to get with the GPS. And
no, we're going to ask you to make a goal related to the worksheet we're framing out here, which isn't about the GPS. It's about this underlying fear that you're going to be proven to be an inept bumbler. So if that's the thought, that's the fear, what's the goal that relates to that?
Be successful at what I'm doing and not be a bumbler. I can be effective.
So I would suggest that you write the goal that you want to feel the truth of your intelligence and competence.
Right.
Because there's an intellectual part of your mind that knows you're competent and you're intelligent. And yet, even though there's that intellectual part of you that knows that truth, you don't feel it.
No.
So when I've worked with people in situations like this before, they end up getting more out of the worksheet when they address the goal not to be competent, because you're already competent, but to feel, to know and feel your competence.
Yes.
And when you set that goal up and then you give yourself time to go into that little meditation that we recommend, you will when you cancel that goal, cancel the need to be right. But the goal is about feeling and knowing and feeling your competence. You'll get access to a different part of your mind than if you keep saying, I want to be competent. Because there's a part of your mind that already knows that you're competent. Being competent isn't the issue. Feeling the truth of your competence is the problem.
Yeah.
And when you do that, when you frame out that worksheet and then take the time to do it and do that little meditation, goal canceling, asking to be shown, and then carefully give yourself time to make notes about everything that bubbles up, everything that comes to your mind, from whatever age, whether it's a glance that your father would throw at you that you registered as disgust, or a time when you actually were competent and he didn't acknowledge it, whatever it is, just make the notes. Ask to be shown, cancel the goal, open yourself to feel it fully, and just note whatever bubbles into awareness. That's how to move forward with this work.
Just a practical question. Where do I put all that information? There's not enough space on the worksheet.
I usually tell people either if you're doing a worksheet where it's blank on the back, we just have people flip it over. When they get to the 6A, they take a breath and scan their body and notice what they're feeling, the physical emotion, the physical sensation, or the emotion that's strongest. And then 6B says, I now see that. That's I flip the page over and write all of that. If I, like when I was doing my work in the middle of the night, and I had one of those things flood in, I backed out of the app and just went to the record function on my phone and recorded a memo. And here was this stream of thoughts about people and images, and I just talked for like 3 minutes into the recorder rather than trying to write it all down. When we have people in the support group, we either give them a blank sheet of paper or we have them turn their worksheet over and write on the blank back of it.
Okay.
And make as many notes, as many detailed notes as they can about what was going on. And then when they go back to the front of the worksheet in 6B, we just write in, you know, see the back of the page, so you don't have to try and cram it all into that little space.
Okay.
So does that give you enough to work on?
Yeah.
What are you noticing? What are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling that I won't be able to remember what you said at different places on the worksheet, and I'll be flummoxed.
But there's the recording, and there's, you know, you can go back and listen to the recording, or you can get input from Susan, your wife.
Yeah. Are you on the call, Sue? She's in
yep,
a separate
I am.
Room.
I am. Yep.
Did you have a thought or a comment for him before we wrap up or move on? What are you hearing, Susan?
It sounds good. Just working on the Bumbler without the GPS sounds like a great idea. It sounds almost like a mind shifter he's doing. You know, there are so many associations with being a Bumbler, but we could work on that. It's great just to have that framed out. That's helpful. And thanks for your talking about your own worksheets, Dr. Tim. That was amazing how many of them you did. And it was just a very good teaching thing. I won't talk about it anymore because we're doing Tim's thing, Tim Bingham's thing, but it's really wonderful to hear. Yeah, I just think the idea of using an extra sheet of paper and all that and just letting the mind go where it needs to go.
Well, there is that aspect of each worksheet where I cancel whatever the goal is that I have in the worksheet, and I'm asking my mind to cancel any need to be right or make up any kind of a story out of what's going on that would in any way justify my negativity. And when we do those worksheets in the support group, we find that it's quite valuable to take a few minutes to sit in the release and just gently repeat, I cancel my need to be right. I cancel my need for anyone or anything to change, including myself. Put my conscious logical mind on the shelf for now. I specifically cancel the goal in this worksheet. And I ask to be shown the hidden part of my own mind that's actually creating these negative emotions or tension or upset.
I have one practical question. It's true that Tim Bingham tends to feel like a bumbler, and his father was quite a bumbler, and I don't think his father felt very good about being a bumbler. He played the violin sloppily. He played sports. Like, he was a tall, thin man, and it's like his legs were going in four directions at once, and he wanted to be good at those things, and he excelled in those things. I think he enjoyed those things. I don't think he minded in any surface way that we could tell that he felt like a bumbler, but he was so hard on Tim Bingham, who was much better than he was in sports, much more coordinated. He got some good genes from the other side of the family, and he was a wonderful tennis player. But somehow, I think Tim's father projected something onto him about being a bumbler. And
Well, just hold on a minute from what you just said. And you had mentioned earlier that it's already sounding to you like the seeds of a mind shifter.
Yeah.
So I would use this input, Tim, if this feels at all accurate to you, I would use that input and construct the mind shifter that says, it's safe and healing for me and my relationship with my father to see and feel my extraordinary competence.
Okay, and do that as a mind shifter.
As a mind shifter. It's safe and healing for me and my relationship with my father for me to see and feel my extraordinary competence.
I don't know that I would use the word extraordinary.
Why is that, sir?
Well, I've felt at times competent, but not extraordinarily competent. That seems like an exaggeration.
And seeing yourself as a bumbler isn't?
Seeing myself as a bumbler is
not an exaggeration. And of course it is an exaggeration based on what Susan just said, and she's known you for a while. You guys have been together, what, 2 or 3 years already?
52. God.
52 years.
So she knows a little bit about you, and she just said that you were far better at these things than your dad. And yet you have a fear of being judged by him, or you have the echo of the memory of the many times you were judged by him as a bumbler, etc. So from the For What It's Worth department, when you're pushing back against any part of a mind shifter, if it's for any reason other than to tune it to get even stronger emotions coming up, then leave it the way it is.
I didn't understand the last thing you said.
If somebody suggests a mind shifter, and you say, oh, that's pretty good, but you know, if I change this word and added my extreme competence, then it really seems hard to write. Go ahead and do it, because it's making it harder to write, because it's resonating a stronger emotion. But if it's for any other reason, don't change it. Go with the words that stir up the strongest emotional response in you and let yourself write about that. We're looking for the strong resonating energies.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I did have one more thing that I wonder about, Dr. Tim.
What's that?
You know, the GPS thing is one thing, but I'm wondering if Tim's anxiety about driving in general and using the GPS while driving, which is a further division of his attention, might be a kind of gut intuition on his part that maybe he shouldn't require himself to find strange places using the GPS, because he's on some medications that slow him down and he's missing vision in one eye. And I'm wondering if it's his wise guardian angel that's saying, why are you requiring yourself to find a strange new place using the GPS under these conditions? Are there other things you could do so that you don't have to go through this? Is the anxiety justified? Now, the anxiety is justified. I mean, the anxiety is, Tim gets a lot of anxiety for different things, and it might be appropriate to get rid of that anxiety. I'm not sure this anxiety isn't a good thing in some ways.
Okay, so here would be my input on that. Do the work, dismantle the anxiety, and then you'll be able to see more clearly. If Tim dismantles his fear of looking like a bumbler, and it's completely dismantled, then he won't feel any pressure to find a place with GPS while driving which isn't safe. He'll say, oh, I'm at an age and my eyesight is such that that's not a good idea for me. And he'll have no connection to feeling like, uh-oh, you know, if I ask for help, then I'm a bumbler. If I can't do it right, then I'm a bumbler. Think about the worst part of the whole scene when I asked Tim to push it to the extreme. What would happen then? What would happen then? What would happen then? The worst part of it was he would have to call you for help. So it's the idea that he has a connection in his mind that asking for help means he's inept/bumbler, and when he dismantles that, it'll be easier to ask for help.
Right. That's excellent. Good.
All right. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for the call and the input. I will mute you.